Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you are having an awesome day. We had a glorious day today. Got to witness, got to get some stuff done on the van, got to work online. And I want to get back to Matthew 17, verse by verse. We left off at verse 21. We're going to pick up at verse 22. We're going to finish Matthew 17 today. You can go to DontParish.com, look for the verse by verse tab, catch up on all the teaching audios we have, and follow along with us, saints and seekers. Let's get there. Matthew 17, I'm going to read verse 22 through 23 right here. "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And they were exceeding sorry." All right, so we've been seeing this all through the book of Matthew's, clearly, Jesus is warning the disciples of his fate, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But we know from Scripture that at the very beginning, when it all happened, they were very, very confused. John 20, 8 and 10. "Then went in also that other disciple that came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead." So they were unsure what was going on. And Luke 24, verse 1 through 4. "And now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and a certain others were with them. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were perplexed about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." So we see that the disciples, even though they were told by Jesus over and over what was about to happen, they got caught unaware. They may not have been listening, paying attention, didn't understand. This is a great reminder for us, saints, that we have to hear the Word of God. We have to meditate on what it says to us. We have to understand it rightly in context. And then we must act to obey it and keep it. I preach that all the time. Most people are just reading the Scriptures. Very few people are reading, meditating, understanding, and obeying. That's why you have false churchianity all over in 40,000 different false flavors. We also, via the gospel, have to be born again. Check out the gospel, DontParish.com. That's the path to eternal life because of what Christ has done, his death, burial, and resurrection. We have to be born from above. And because we're born from above, we have the Spirit of God, then we can have this great teacher within us. John 14, 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Isn't that glorious? So he's the ultimate teacher. Yes, us men can teach. My wife teaches younger ladies the Titus 2 things. But the ultimate teacher is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. We can just tell you things, then he teaches it. He resides it in you and brings it home in your soul and in your being. So we want to be careful. Unless we also hear the Word of God, heed it, understand it, and obey it, we're going to be caught off guard as well. That goes for daily life, that goes for the end times, that goes for the tactics of our enemy, that goes for warning ourselves about our flesh, all these things. Know the Word of God, meditate on it, understand it, read it, and then obey it. The Scripture says they were exceedingly sorry. That Greek word is lupio. It means distressed and sad. Yeah. They walked with Jesus, they believed he was God, and now they're facing losing him. How sad. But, glorious. Then comes the morning, right? Then comes the resurrection morning. It wasn't Sunday, by the way. Yeah, Sunday morning they found out about it. Jesus resurrected on Saturday. He died on a Wednesday night. Go look at my article, Good Friday Exposed, on the teaching blog. Good Friday, Easter Sunday, a Roman Catholic Lies. But that resurrection did come. John 14, 22 through 24. "Judas saith to him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. All right, so notice in this verse where he's talking about he's going to come and make abode, that's the Spirit coming. Notice faith and works. Jesus is saying, you hear it, all right? You love me, you hear it, you keep my words. Yeah, faith and works. It's all over, faith and works and obedience. It's all over Scripture. That's what God does in us, and it's all a work of God. If you're not obeying God, God's not doing a work in you. If you sin and sin and sin and sin willfully, God is not doing a work in you. Your flesh and the enemy is doing a work in you. So faith and works, I always like to point that out. We're saved by grace through faith that produces works of holiness and obedience and endurance. Yeah, it's true. Verse 24, and when they were come unto Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? Okay, this is kind of interesting. So here we have some money collectors challenging Peter about Jesus not paying a tribute. What's tribute? Well, tribute is money that was collected from the Jews and it was used on the temple. You can go read about this in Exodus 30, 13 through 16. This is what God had ordained. And so tribute is like a tax. And as usual, men are trying to find fault in Christ. This is true then. They always tried to find fault with him. And it'll be true today as we, his people, his children, his sheep, we're going to be hated. He tells us that in Matthew 10 because of his namesake and Matthew 24. So be prepared as you serve Christ. The world will be your enemy. They'll be coming after you looking to find fault. We're supposed to walk blameless. Wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Verse 25. He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. All right, so let's look at this. That word prevent. Propheno. It doesn't really mean prevent as we would think it. It means to anticipate. So Jesus being God, right? God knows all the inner thoughts and thoughts of our mind and intent of the heart. Jesus could see what's coming. This is called being all-knowing. Omniscient. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. Remember that. A lot of people say, oh, God is that way, but not Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is God. Right? I got articles on that to prove he is God. So very, very important that you see the omniscience of God knowing all things. Let's keep going. Saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Jesus said, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Okay. Pay close attention here. Look what he said. They take tribute of their children or strangers. Jesus is testing Peter. Why? He's testing to see if Peter understands weightier, deeper principles of the things of God over the things of this earth. Yeah, let's see how we do on this test too. Let's keep reading, okay? Ponder that, but let's keep reading. Verse 26. Peter said unto him, of strangers. So Peter answers correctly. So what this means is the kings don't tax their own children, do they? No, but he taxes those in his kingdom. Children of the king get many great benefits, don't they? Yeah, they do. Think about that, being a child of God. And so the king doesn't tax his own children. That's what Jesus was going after here. And Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. All right, so Jesus is bringing this point round home. Jesus... point is this, the Father, his Father in heaven, owns the temple. He actually owns the earth already. And if he's the Son of God, I don't have to pay taxes. My Father owns all this. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I don't have to pay taxes. You get the point? I hope you do. Ponder that. This verse reminds me of this verse, Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Yeah, and you know what I always like to say? And the Father owns the hills too. How glorious. He owns the cattle. He owns the hills. He owns the earth. He owns the whole universe. I guess Peter probably was wondering, scratching his head, going, Jesus, I think he's God. He's Savior, Son of God. Does he have to pay taxes? Let's see the outcome here. Verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. All right. So that's that word offend. We've covered it many times. Scandalizo. A scandal. Offense to them. Christ is about to teach them and us that while some things are not required of him or us as his people, it is wise to do them as to not put stumbling blocks in front of people that are already going to be at odds with our message, already hate us, but we want to walk blameless. We want them to hate us for the right reasons. We don't want them to hate us, but we want to make sure that we're receiving persecution for the right reasons. So I want to be persecuted because I preach a biblical gospel, not because I'm a jerk, not because I'm mean, not because I break man's laws. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus is saying here, don't cause them to stumble. A good example of this is Matthew 5:41. Jesus says this, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Twain means two. So let me give you some history here. Israel is being occupied by Rome, cruel Rome. And there was a law passed down that any Roman soldier could say to a Jew, hey, pick up my gear and carry it 1 mile. Because these Roman soldiers walked a long way. Imagine if you walked 20 miles with all this gear. That's a lot of gear. But if you could have a guy carry it a mile for you and you could keep getting a different Jew, you could get a break while you carried all your gear. Yeah, that was the law. And so they wanted to be able to use the Jews, but not abuse the Jews kind of thing. Well, Jesus is saying, if you carry it 1 mile, Jesus says, go two. What this means is it's a sign of submission. It's probably heaping coals on their heads instead of the Romans going, hey, these people are fighting us. They're wicked people of God. The Romans are going, hey, they don't mind doing this. And they go 2 miles as a service to us. They're meek. They're humble. They're servants. Wow. What a testimony of who they are. That was the whole point. Another example. When I street preach, I will often be asked to do things by store owners, police, other people in the street that I don't have to do. Yeah, I'm not breaking the law. I can do what I want as long as I'm not breaking the law. But you know what? There's times when I'll do them to keep peace. And sometimes people will say, thank you for that. And the police see that and they say, thank you for that. Paul says this, Romans 12, verse 18. Romans 12, I think it's verse 12 and 18. Okay, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. So we can't live peaceable with all men. We know we can't. Jesus was killed. Paul was killed. Peter was killed. The truth of the gospel is going to make us an enemy. But you notice he says, if it be possible, we should be blameless in our effort to live peaceful. And people will still hate us just because we represent Christ, the gospel. We stand for truth. We won't bend God's word. We won't hide the sins that need to be called out in churchianity or wherever. So if possible, live in peace with men. That's what Jesus is teaching Peter. We're going to pay this tax even though we don't really have to. Let's keep moving on here. The verse goes on. Go thou to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. All right, so Jesus instructs Peter to go fishing. I like this. I'm an old fisherman. I used to fish idolatrous fishing, right? It was a waste of time. Mostly fishing for my pleasure, although I love God's creation. And as a youngster without God in my life, it did keep me out of a lot of trouble, drugs, fighting. Well, I did a lot of fighting, but I'm talking when I'm real small, 8, 9, 10, 12. Yeah, it kept me out of a lot of drugs and stuff back then, but I appreciate fishing. I still like to fish and catch fish for dinner, although I don't fish any time. We always have food, but I know how to fish to catch dinner for my house and for others if we need it. So that's pretty awesome. I'm prepared to go fishing anytime to catch physical fish. We're out here fishing for men every single day, as you well know. So when Jesus instructs Peter to go fishing, okay, there's a whole bunch of angles we could take on this, but I thought about it. I sought it out. These are the ones I think are very good to note. Ready? With that verse when he says, Peter, go fishing. Number one, this shows Christ rules over his creation. What you're going to see happens. Money's going to appear in a fish. There, I give you a spoiler alert. He either makes a coin appear in this fish's mouth, or he knows there is one there. Amazing. He's sovereign over his creation. That's the number one point. Two, God fills needs in some of the very strangest, most hard to believe ways. Yeah, that we will never expect. Remember the prophet that he fed with birds? I'll have you look up that verse. Yeah. Number three, Peter used to be a fisherman, and I think this shows God will use our past talents and abilities for his glory and even everyday life and ministry. I like that. God uses Sister Debbie and I's past, Sister Debbie and I, our past so much, skills, talents, experiences. Next one. This is testing Peter's faith, and it also shows his obedience to God. Yeah, they're asking Peter for money. Jesus says, go fishing. Jesus doesn't go, hey, wait a minute, we need money. Why am I going fishing? Peter goes fishing. He obeys Christ. I like that. And then next one. Just as God used a fish as a sign with Jonah, remember that? Christ, who mentioned Jonah, there will be a sign like the sign with Jonah, 3 days and three nights, I'll be in the earth. This is showing he uses his creation at will. It's all under him. All authority and power is given to him. I love that. God and his creation, which is man, is all rolled up together, and he uses it, he works in it, he dwells with it. Even though it's been cursed and corrupted by sin, he still is using it for his glory. I love that. I love that a lot. Lastly, it shows God's goodness and his severity. Ready? You're going, what? What are you talking about? Well, here we see the goodness of God. First of all, read about the goodness and severity of God in Romans 11. Here we see the goodness of God. He's going to pay a tax via a fish. I love that. You want to read about the bad with fish? Exodus 7:18. And the fish that was in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. Yeah, God used fish to judge Egypt when they were persecuting and keeping Israel in bondage. The goodness and severity of God using the same thing, a fish to bless, like with the multiplication, or using a fish to curse. Hey, Jonah got swallowed. Yeah, that could have went really bad, but God used it for his glory. All right, let's finish up. Last verse here. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money that taketh and give unto them for me and for thee. So that fishing trip led to a fish with money in its mouth. And I find this very interesting, how even though Jesus was there with Peter, this is the point I want to bring home on this verse. Peter's right there. God is right there. Jesus did not do everything. Nope. This is patterned all over God's Word in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We have a part to do in His work. Like feeding the people at the food multiplication miracles, they had to bring Jesus the fish, they had to go and serve the people, then they had to collect up all the extra. They had stuff to do. Like here, Peter's got to go fishing and get the money. Jesus didn't do it for him, right? How about this one? Like the gospel going out. God didn't call these super powerful angels to do it. He called us to do it. We have a part in this gospel proclamation. Isn't that awesome? I think this is a beautiful example of how God works with us and in us for his good pleasure. Philippians 2, 13 through 15. God does not need us, but he allows us to work with him. We're made for good works. Ephesians 2, 10. Philippians 2, 13 through 15. For it is God with worketh in you both to will and to good of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Saints, do you see why we have faith and works of obedience? We want to be shining as examples, blameless and harmless in the midst of a crooked world. If we are just like the world, we're not doing that for God's glory. Yeah, that's why we strive to obey and be holy and blameless in how we act, talk, dress, associations, all those things. And I believe by doing this, we have a part in it all. God doesn't do it all for us. This draws us into God's plan. This draws us into unity with him, closeness. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. I think this has a lot to do with, and ponder this as we close out Matthew 17. Ponder this. Just like Jesus came as a man, he came into mankind. He stepped into humanity to be like us. Does that not draw us closer to him? Think of that. Think of that. If we were planted here by aliens and they came back and visit us and they look totally different and they ride around in spaceships, which I don't believe aliens exist, by the way. But if that happened, you'd go, wow, we're nothing like them. We can't relate to them. Well, what? We don't have nothing in common. Christ comes down to us in humanity and it draws us to be near him, to strive to be like him. He suffered just like we suffer, and he was tempted like we suffer, or excuse me, like we're tempted. Isn't that beautiful? I always tell people when I witness to Muslims or New Agers that all the other religions are reaching up to God. But Christianity in Christ is the only one where Christ reached down to us. I love to preach that. It shows us how we are part of humanity with him. He came to unite with us in that, then shed his blood and redeem us with a price. It also reminds us we're in covenant with him. Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Testimony, that word, what does it mean? It means a covenant, a contract. Yeah. When you buy a house, you sign a contract. The bank gives you money. I don't encourage you to take big loans, by the way. When you sign a contract, you have a part to keep and the other person has a part to keep. When you get married, the groom has a part to keep and the bride has a part to keep. Right? Well, Jesus did his part perfect in this covenant. We have a part to keep. We just read what it is, to live harmless and blameless in a crooked, perverse nation for his glory. And lastly, we're to surrender our will. He shows us how to do that as we unite to God's will. Romans 12, 2. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did you catch that? I can't wait to get to study the book of Romans. When we're not conformed to the world and when we're transformed in our mind, we're going to prove what's good, acceptable, and the will of God. If you live like the world, you don't have that. If you don't have a transformed mind via the gospel, you don't have that. See how this all comes together, saints and seekers, if you're listening. I hope that's been edifying to you. What a glorious thing it is to walk in this covenant, blood covenant of Christ, and the will of God. And it's all because of what Christ has done for us via the gospel. Go check it out at don'tperish.com. I preach it every day. It's all over our website on every page. Test yourself to it. Make sure you're born of him, following him in new life through repentance because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Holiness and obedience is going to light your way. And then you have to endure in the faith as he gives you the word, the spirit, the grace, the peace, the joy, the hope, the repentance when you need it. Yeah, he's done that for me and Sister Debbie. He's done that for the saints we're closely united to every day. I know he'll do it for you if you will seek after him with all your heart. I hope that's blessed you. That finishes up Matthew 17. We are cruising right along. Next time, yeah, we're going to get right to Matthew 18. I really thank you for listening in. I hear good reports from people. They're enjoying the study. Saints and seekers, shoot me an email if we can help you in the faith. We're hearing from lots of people. It's pretty exciting. Lots of good things happening. Oh, the world's dark. Yep, we're in the last days. Oh, there's a puny few. Yeah, that word few means puny. I just did a teaching on that. There's a puny few. True, biblical, holy, obedient. Saints of God, we know them scattered all over the world. But you know what? That's what it was in Noah's day. That's what it was in Lot's day. Yeah, that's what it was in Israel's day. Most of them were grumbling, complaining, and sinful. It's going to be even worse in the last days. But you know what's so awesome about that? The rarer saints are, the more precious they are. And that goes along with God's word. The rarer it is in the communities and the culture and the world, the more precious it is to his true people. I love the word of God. I love to teach it. Thanks for listening. We love you all. Shoot us an email. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Don'tperish.com. Thousands of resources for free. Yeah, he said freely was given. Freely you should give. We won't take a penny for it. Because God meets all of our needs and we want to proclaim this glorious Savior. Till next time, I hope you have a glorious day. May God be praised.